to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
We're going to be taking a look at Joshua chapter 8, and I want to refer back to some questions I asked you at the beginning of the message last week. If you weren't here, that's okay. I'm asking you the questions again to make a point. At the beginning of the message last week, I asked you how many of you like to lose, and nobody raised their hands. And then I asked how many of you have ever lost or been defeated, and pretty much everybody raised their hands. And the question I asked you was, if you don't like it, then why did you do it? And of course, we all laugh because we didn't choose to lose. We didn't choose to be defeated. We may have done things, said things, whatever along the way that led to us losing or that led to us being defeated, but it wasn't something we wanted and it wasn't something that we chose because loss and defeat are just part of life. Sometimes it doesn't even have anything to do with us. It's because of something someone else did or say that we end up losing or we end up being defeated. But many times we lose, we are defeated because of choices we've made, things we've done, things we've said, things we've put into motion. And so last week we talked about that because in our working our way through the book of Joshua, we came to chapter 7 and the people of God lost. Now, we're working our way through the book of Joshua, and our sermon series is called Joshua Experiencing Victory Through Faith. And we like to focus on the victory part. And we should focus on the victory part. And I can tell you that God wants us to have victory. That victory is obtained as we walk by faith. In other words, we trust God, we believe God, we listen to God, and then we do what he says. That's really all faith is. And we see as we've looked at the story of Joshua, and if you've missed any or all of them, you can go back and listen to them or watch them online. We've seen that Joshua is one of those few people in Scripture that almost always gets it right. He took over after the leadership of Moses, of God's people. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. God has encouraged him and challenged him because he's felt a little bit insecure following Moses' leadership. But he's stepped in the gap and he's doing very, very well. And he's listening to God and he's doing what God tells him to do as he leads God's people. And in the first several chapters of Joshua, there's a number of things that happen. We won't review all of them, but God's people are following their new leader. Just as Joshua's trying to do what God says, the people are following Joshua's leadership. Great things are happening. They're recommitting their lives to God. They're preparing to go into the promised land. God does a supernatural work to show that he is with them by causing the Jordan River to split. And they cross the Jordan River on dry ground when normally at that time of the year, the Jordan River is at flood stage. An impossibility, and God does a miracle. And then the story that we're probably all most familiar with from Joshua is the story of the Battle of Jericho in chapter 6, when there's this tremendous victory, but it's not because of anything in particular that Joshua and the people did, other than the fact that they did what God told them to do. It's a total miraculous thing. They just march around the city once a day for 6 days. The seventh day, they march around 7 times. They shout because that's what God said to do. And God caused the walls to fall flat, and they're able to defeat the city. Now, in the midst of all that, it raised a very important question we dealt with. How could a good, loving God, a righteous God, command his people to go in and take over this country that was already inhabited by other people? And if that's a question in your mind and you weren't here, I encourage you specifically to go back and listen to that message. It's called Devoted to Destruction. These people were not just some kind of innocent bystanders. They were terribly wicked and evil people and culture and society that God had been dealing with for hundreds of years, and they refused to repent, and they continued to get worse and worse and worse, and God said, it is time for judgment, and he used his people to do that. So that's just a quick summary. You can go back and listen to that message. So anyway, they conquered Jericho, and unbeknownst to Joshua and the leadership, everything went perfect except for one thing, and that is that God said that that city, as the first city conquered, and he's going to ask it of some other cities too, is to be totally and completely devoted to God. That meant, you know, they had to totally destroy the city, wipe it all out and everything. And anything of value that couldn't be destroyed or burned up, like gold and silver and precious stones, things like that, were to be given to God for his uses. Well, there was one man, his name was Achan. And he gave into temptation. He saw some gold, he saw some silver, he saw this really great robe. You know, we don't think of clothing as items of value or great value, but in their culture, they were tremendously valuable. And he took them and he hid them. And because of that, God's judgment rested upon his people. And as we looked at last week, you know, Joshua 6 was victory at Jericho. Joshua 7 is defeat at Ai. It's another town. Joshua sent a group of people to conquer the next town. It was just supposed to be a little town, a little skirmish, really easy. And he sent some people up there, and they were totally defeated. And Joshua's like, what is wrong? And they fall on their faces, and they seek God. And God basically just says, get up. It's your fault. Now, it wasn't literally Joshua's fault. The only fault Joshua had is that he had broken out of his pattern of seeking God and made a decision to send the men to conquer Ai without asking God what he thought about it. If he'd have done that, God could have told him, there's a problem, you need to take care of it, but he didn't do it, and therefore the judgment rested on God's people, and they were defeated. So as we looked at that last week in chapter 7, after the defeat, they sought God. God told them what happened. They took care of the problem. The man who had stolen the stuff did not come forward to confess until he was backed into a corner. And so he paid the price for what he did. But when we get to the end of the chapter, we're looking at 8 today, but you look at the last verse of chapter 7, in the middle of verse 26, it says, then the Lord turned from his burning anger. The beginning of the chapter, it said that the Lord had great anger because of the sin. We touched base on that last week. God is angry at sin because of its destruction of God's people. But because they did the right thing, because they repented, because they got rid of the sin that was in their midst, God's anger turned away. But it raises a big question. What is going to happen now? God's people had failed. They had been defeated. Word's going to get out. But even beyond that whole thing of word getting out, that this seemingly invincible army that was being protected and guided and delivered by their God now experienced a defeat, Joshua is the leader, is like, okay, well, we were doing everything so good and God brought victory, but then it got all messed up. What's going to happen now? Is it all over? Did we miss out on God's best for us? Is God giving up on us? I mean, granted, we asked him to forgive us. We did what he said to take care of the sin. God had apparently communicated that he was no longer angry with him. But what's going to happen now? Do we have to go back to the wilderness? Is God going to say, okay, we took care of it, but I'm done with you? And the only reason I keep asking these questions is because sometimes we wrestle with those same kind of questions. When we've been defeated, when we've experienced, especially when we talk about sin, when we've done something that we know is wrong, and we've asked God to forgive us, and we'd like to believe that he has forgiven us, but what does that mean for us now? Especially if it was a really big deal. I mean, it's not like some little, I told a lie to somebody and I said I was sorry, but you know, some really big deal. Is there ever a case, is there ever a time that we commit a sin, that we're defeated, that God just says, I'm done with you? Or that he would say, you know what, I'm not going to destroy you. Just go on and live your life. What happens next? Now, I have to be honest with you that when we sin, there are certain sins, and it just depends on the person and the sin and the circumstances, that the consequences will have an effect maybe for the rest of your life. And those are things we have to deal with. But I want to bring to you the good news today that even though you may have sinned, even though you may have lost, even though you may have been defeated, even though you've gotten off that path of walking in victory, God has not given up on you. And God will never give up on you. And so today we're going to look at this next chapter. And we're going to talk about, you know, how do we get from defeat to victory again? You know, we talked about how they went from victory to defeat. That was chapter 7. But now that that's been dealt with, how do we get from defeat back to victory? Because I want to tell you, no matter what's gone on in your life, no matter how much you were involved in it, no matter how much it was your own fault, God wants to bring you back to a place of victory. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because we see that that's exactly what God did for Joshua and his own people. He brought them to a place of victory once again. In fact, Unlike our lives, as we read the story of Joshua, they will never experience defeat in battle again in this book. Because unlike us, they learned their lesson, I think. Now, they didn't do everything perfectly, but they didn't ever experience defeat again. So today we're going to talk about going from defeat to victory. I'm so glad we serve what has often been called a God of a second chance. And you know, when we read God's word, it doesn't just have all the stories of all the people who got it exactly right. In fact, there's more stories in the Bible, I think, of when people got it wrong than when they got it right. And I think that's to encourage us. God gave almost every single hero or major godly person in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, man or woman, almost all of them suffered some kind of defeat. But they came back to God and God forgave them and he took them forward again. David, Peter, Abraham, God's people as a nation. I mean, over and over, Jonah. You know, there's just so many people, little known guy in the New Testament, John Mark. God never gave up on them. And he doesn't give up on us either. So we're going to be looking at this story in Joshua 8. And there's some lessons we're going to draw from it that'll help us when we've experienced a defeat, big, small, in between, when we've experienced a loss, when we have given in to temptation and sinned and got it right with God. Now, that is the beginning point. We're talking about if you've been involved in sin, you've gotten it right with God. If you haven't done that, that's the first thing you need to do, okay? But once we've gotten ourselves right with God because we've sinned against him, how then do we go from that defeat to where we're walking in victory again? We see that illustrated in this passage. Four things I want to share with you. Number one is this: God has a message for you. You need to believe it. You would say, of course I would. No, there are many times God speaks messages to us and we don't believe it. The devil tells us, no, that message isn't for you. It's for somebody else. You don't qualify. You know, God didn't mean that to fit your situation. We need to believe the message that God gives to us. And I'm not talking about a message of condemnation. I'm talking about a different sort of message. Let's see how we see it in this story in verses 1 and 2 of Joshua 8. It says, and the Lord said to Joshua, God is giving Joshua a message. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise and go up to Ai. This is where they had the defeat. He says, go back. Go back. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves. Lay an ambush against the city behind it. Now we're going to stop right there for just a moment. God had a message for Joshua. And even though he doesn't say it in these words, at least as recorded in Scripture, God is telling Joshua, I've not given up on you. I'm not throwing you aside. I'm not canceling my plans for you. I am going to get you back to where you need to go, and I'm going to bring you back to a place of victory. There's three things about this message that I believe God wanted to use in Joshua's life, and he wants to use in our lives also. First of all, it's a message of encouragement. It's a message of encouragement. You know, how do we respond? What reactions do we have when we experience failure, especially sinful failure? We're filled with guilt until we get it taken care of. We're perhaps filled with remorse. We're discouraged. We're afraid. We're apprehensive. And when we've got it settled with God, when we repent of our sins and we ask God to forgive us and we make our effort, whatever we need to do to get back on the right path and to go the right direction, because if we've sinned, we've been going the wrong direction. Repent means to change our mind and to change our path. We're going to turn around and go the right direction. And when we've done that, even though you would think, okay, I'm right with God, I don't have to fear anymore. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be apprehensive. There are times those feelings still hang on, especially if we're dealing with something that we keep failing over and over and over again. But God wants us, God wants to give us a word of encouragement. He wants us to know that if we've truly repented of our sins and we put ourselves back on the right path, he's not giving up on us. In fact, he's all for us and he's forgiven us and he wants us to walk in victory. That's the message of encouragement. You know, when we deal with sin correctly, his message to us is exactly the same as what he told Joshua in verse 1. He says, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. That's in the past. It's taken care of. And of course, on this side of the life of Jesus and the cross, we know it was taken care of by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. So his word of encouragement is to us, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. Pick yourself back up and go forward. It's interesting that Joshua had heard these words before. Not in a context of sinning, but Moses had told him that before Moses died. When he knew that Joshua was going to take over leadership and he installed him as the new leader, he says, listen, you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to be dismayed, God's with you. And then way back in Joshua chapter 1, after Moses had died, and God says, okay, you're the man. He didn't put it exactly that way, but you're the man. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I'm going to be with you. You see, God tells us that in the good times when it's a lot easier to accept as true, but he also tells us when we've been through a really bad time, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. I'm on your side. You've taken care of it. We're going to go forward. Let me just really emphasize this because I just feel like maybe there's a couple people here today that you're dealing with this. Let me just put it out there in a short sentence. When we confess our sins, our relationship with God is restored 100%. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? I didn't say East Ocala from West Ocala. I just said east. It's far. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions, our sins from us. I love Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a man, and it includes women too, okay, as you're following God. The steps of a man are established by the Lord and when he delights in his way. In other words, you love God, you're trying to serve him, you're making mistakes, but you're trying to serve him. It says, when he delights in his way, though he fall, he will not be cast headlong. In other words, he won't totally fall to be irretrievably lost. He says, but the Lord will uphold him with his hand. I want to tell you something. The worst mistake we can make after we've made a mistake is to give up and not try again. So God has a message for you. Believe it. A message of encouragement and a message of promise. A message of promise. He told Joshua here, he says, take all the fighting men with you, arise, go up to Ai, see, I have given into your hand. He didn't say, I will give. He did the same thing before Jericho. Before they ever marched out on the first day, God says, I've already given Jericho to you. And now he does the exact same thing. He's giving Joshua a word of promise. He says, as far as eternal things are considered, as far as spiritual things are considered, as far as it is in my sight, I've already given you victory over Ai. And I want to tell you something. In your life, as far as God's concerned, he has already made it possible for you to have victory over whatever it is that you're facing. A sin, a problem, a situation that's not the way it should be. God has already given you a victory. He wants you to believe that message. He wants you to believe that word of promise. I made a statement a moment ago, and I want to add another phrase to it. I said, when we confess our sins, our relationship with God is restored. I want to add to that, and we can go forward in victory. When we confess our sins, our relationship with God is restored, and we can go forward in victory. One of my favorite promises in the Bible is Romans 8:28. Same chapter Vita read from earlier, but a little bit earlier in the chapter. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. If we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and we love him and we're trying to serve him, whatever comes against us, even the things we bring on ourselves that God would never plan for us, he can bring good out of it. He can bring good out of it. So glad that God does that. Now, we got to be very careful because that could cause us to be a little bit lackadaisical, a little bit, you know, let down our guard. Like, if that's the case, then it doesn't really matter what I do or don't do, and I know I should live a good life, but if I'm, you know, God will take care. He'll turn it around, and it almost becomes an excuse to do what we want to do, even sinful things, knowing that if we ask God, he'll forgive us, and then he'll work it all out, and that can be very, very tempting. But we have to understand that even though God truly will forgive us if we truly do repent and are not flippant about it, And he can bring good out of the bad. The consequences of the bad are still there. He'll bring good out of it, but there are still some things we're going to have to deal with because we made that choice and went that direction. And I'll tell you, many times life gets a lot more rough in that area of life than it would have been if we'd have just done the right thing to begin with. I mean, look at this battle we're going to be reading in just a moment. Joshua has to take the whole army with him. It's going to be a much more difficult battle. They're going to have to fight to win. They're going to win. God's promising, you're going to win. You're going to walk in victory. But it's going to be a lot more difficult than it would have been if they'd have done the right thing from the very beginning. And the third thing about this message is a message of instruction. In other words, God says, I'm going to help you walk in victory, and here's how you go about doing it. He'll always tell us what to do. He'll tell us how we can get back on the right track, how we can stay on the right track, what we need to do about our situation, and that's exactly what he's done for Joshua here. He says, listen, this is what I want you to do. Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. You know, be encouraged here, I give you a promise. I've already given you the city, and this is how you go about it. Take up the whole army and set an ambush. Now, later in the chapter, he's going to give more detailed instructions, but he says, this is how you're going to go about it. And in the same way, God will give us instructions about how to deal with what's going on in our life. Again, if I could take that statement I already made and I add a little bit to it, I want to add a little bit more to it. When we confess our sins, our relationship with God is restored, and we can go forward in victory if we follow his instructions. So if we want to go from defeat to victory, the first thing we have to do is understand that God has a message for us. We need to believe it. It's a message of encouragement. It's a message of promise. And it's a message of instruction. And we need to follow those instructions. God has a plan for each and every one of us in general, but also specific plans for whatever we're going to face. And if we'll listen to him, he'll tell us what to do. As we stated many times throughout this series, that the way to victory is obedience to what God tells us to do. You know, the problem before wasn't that Joshua was disobedient, but it was that he listened to the spies' instructions instead of God's. So now he needs to follow God's instructions. Now, before we go on, I just want to make a really interesting note here. Did you pick up when I read those two verses that God said, this time you all can keep the plunder? You know, for Jericho, God says, okay, this city is totally and completely devoted to me. Destroy it, burn it. Anything that can't be destroyed, gold, silver, precious stones, they belong to the treasury of God's temple or God's tabernacle to be used for his purposes. He says, this time you can take whatever you want, which is going to be very handy because the manna has stopped and now they need to feed themselves, and so the animals are going to be very helpful for meals and things like that. You know, the thing that's really sad is Achan was tempted just a couple days before, and he gave into temptation to take from those things that were devoted to God. If he'd have just waited a couple of days, he would still be alive and he would have had everything that he needed. And I just point that out because Satan will come to us and he'll lie to us today and he'll say, God doesn't want what's best for you. He's told you no to this, 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 and this because he wants to spoil your fun. When God says, listen, you just wait. Do life according to my plan and I've got good things in store for you. It's just my timing's a little bit different than yours is. There's a whole sermon all by itself in that one, but I'm not going to preach that one this morning. So God wants to encourage us and instruct us and help us. Just as this passage says, the Lord said to Joshua, God wants to speak to every single one of us because he has a message for us and we need to believe it. The second lesson we can draw from this to get from defeat to victory is to know that God has a plan for you. Discover it. God has a plan for you. You need to discover it. And obviously with the implication, you're gonna live it out. You're going to follow it. Now, we find that in verses 3 to 13. I'm only going to read verses 3 to 8, but let's look at the plan that God had for Joshua and the Israelites. It says, so Joshua and all the fighting men arose to go up to Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them out by night. And he commanded them, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you remain ready. And I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and when they come out against us, just as before, we'll flee before them. And they will come out after us until we've drawn them away from the city, for they will say, they're fleeing from us just as before. So we will flee before them. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will give it into your hand. And as soon as you have taken the city, you shall set the city on fire. You shall do according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you. So God had given Joshua this detailed plan that he passed on to the people. And it's a different strategy. I mean, look at what he told them to do for Jericho. They just had to march around the city once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day, shout, it falls down. They didn't really have to do much of anything. But now they've got this strategy, and they've got this thing that's all planned out, and they're going to have an ambush, and they're going to draw the people out of the city, and they're going to have to fight. I say all that just to let you know that, you know what, our God is a God of infinite variety. And he wants us to depend on him and be guided by him. And he has different plans for different people, for different situations. And we need to realize that. And we need to be open to that. God has a plan for us. And the specific situations we find, we need to discover what that plan is. And we need to understand that it may not be the same plan that God used in somebody else's life that faced something similar to yours. And it may not be the same plan that he used in your life when you faced something similar 2 years ago. Now he's got a different way he wants you to go about it. Now, he won't ever contradict his word, but sometimes God wants us to approach things differently. So we need to be open to that. We need to be open to new instructions. It's so easy to get into a rut in our personal lives. We can do that as a church, that we always do things the same way, that we always approach situations the same way. And it worked before, so it should work now. We've always done it that way. We always got to do it that way. We need to be open to whatever God would speak to us about as fresh instructions for whatever we're facing right now, even though it may be similar to something we faced before or similar that we know, to something somebody else faced, and we see how God worked in their life. God may choose to do it a different way. Again, never in contradiction to principles in his word. So we need to be open to new instructions. God wants us to be always looking to him, depending on him, relying on his promises. Again, another one of my favorite promises in God's word is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And as we look at God's plans and his design for our life and the circumstances, sometimes God does all the work, but most of the time, we have to do something. Sometimes God does all the work like he did for Jericho. The Israelites just had to march and shout. That's the time I like in my own life. I love it when I have a need or a situation or a problem, and I take it to God, and God says, I've got this. And I'm just marching and shouting, hallelujah, God took care of it. I didn't have to do much of anything. But most of the time, we come to God with a problem. He says, okay, here's what you need to do, and he lays out a plan for us. Tells us what to do, and we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to work for it. We're going to have to fight for it, okay? But we need to be willing to do that. And so Joshua did exactly what God told him to do. In fact, Joshua always did what God told him to do. Again, the fault the chapter before wasn't that he did something that he didn't do what God told him to do. It's just he didn't bother ask God what to do. So he wasn't aware of the problem. So God has a message for you. You need to believe it. God has a plan for you. You need to discover it. And the third thing is this. God has a victory for you. You need to fight for it. God has a victory for you, and you need to fight for it. I already alluded to that. We've got to do our part. We read the story in verses 8, 14 to 29. I'm not going to read that today. I encourage you to go back and read it later. But basically, the way this whole thing worked out is that Joshua led the Israelites to do exactly what God had said. He chose a group of people. He says, okay, you are going to sneak in there under cover of night, and you're going to go behind the city. And in fact, there's Ai, and just about a mile away is another city called Bethel. Some have proposed that Bethel was the main city, and Ai was a military outpost. It's kind of a forward defense, okay? He says, you men are going to go, and you're going to be in hiding behind Ai, between Ai and Bethel. Two purposes. One's going to come out in the battle, but part of the purpose is that if the people from Bethel come, they have advance warning, okay? And so they sneak out, and then Joshua comes up with all the other people right up in front of the city where the people in the city can see them, and it's a smaller group. And it looks like they're going to try to do the same thing they did before. And that's exactly the way it plays out. They come up, the people of Ai, the king looks out, sees this army out there. He says, oh, they've come to try to beat us again. We can beat them. And so they come out of the city yelling, screaming, all excited because these Israelites have come again. They're going to whoop them and make them run back down the mountainside again. And that's exactly what Joshua and the Israelites do, but this time it's by design. They decide to do it. They take off like they're running away. And so all the people of Ai are coming out. And not all the details are given in the book, in the book of Joshua. But it also seems to indicate that the people from Bethel came and joined them. And they're chasing the Israelites down the mountain. And Joshua keeps looking over. I'm reading some things in here. He keeps looking over his shoulder to see when everybody gets out of the city. And once Joshua realizes that everybody has committed themselves to this battle, thinking they're going to totally destroy the Israelites, they're all left the city. It says that Joshua lifts his javelin up in the air. Now, whether the people in the ambush can actually see him from wherever they are, or whether it's passed along from place to place by messengers, the people in ambush, they've now got their signal. And they get up out of the ambush, they go into the city, set it on fire. There's nobody there. And then they come out, and they're behind the army, and Joshua and the other Israelites are in front of the army, and they turn around and start to fight. Now all these men who are so excited because they're going to rout the Israelites again are caught between the two sides of the army, and they're totally and completely destroyed. God gives them total victory. God had a victory for his people, but they had to fight for it. Not in the same way, but with the same principle. God has a victory for you, but you may have to fight for it. In fact, you probably will have to fight for it. God has a victory for you in your finances, but you're going to have to fight for it. God has a victory for you in your marriage, but you're going to have to fight for it. God has a victory for you in your relationship with that person in your family, your parent, your child, your grandchild, you know, whoever it is. But you're going to have to fight for it. And I don't mean fighting with them, but I mean fighting to find out what God wants you to do and to get through it and to find his plan and to carry it out, to see that this situation can be taken care of and you can have victory. I find it kind of ironic that one of the reasons the Israelites won or lost the first battle with Ai is because they were overconfident. Now we find out that the people of Ai are going to lose their battle because they're overconfident. Let me just tell you this. When we are right with God and we're following his instructions, we will experience victory as we go through the battles of life. If we're right with God, we know everything's good between us. We've got our sin taken. We're in right relationship with him. We've got our sin taken care of. We're following his instructions. We're going to face battles. We may even face some things that seem to be setbacks, but God says you will have victory. But you're going to have to fight. There's a lot of scriptures, but James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, resist the enemy, resist all these things that would come against you that are not of God, and he will flee from you. I want to ask you to consider today, what is it that you need to fight for today? Do you need to fight for your purity? Do you need to fight for your character? Do you need to fight for your marriage? Do you need to fight for some other relationship, fight for your family? I think God's word to you is to say, don't give up. Maybe you've been fighting. You haven't seen much of a victory yet. And God's saying, don't give up. He has victory for you. The last thing I want to share with you is this. God has a relationship with you. Maintain it. This is a very foundational thing. It might almost seem like, well, now we're switching into a whole different category. We're switching into a whole different story. In fact, I want to read the last part of the chapter here to you. It's verses 30 to 35 in chapter 8. After this victory over the city of Ai, in verse 30 it says, at that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. An altar of uncut stones upon which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. And all Israel, sojourner as well as native born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim, half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first to bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he, Joshua, read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel and the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. Now, it seems like this is a totally different story. I mean, why didn't we just deal with that in a different story? This is something, but I want to tell you something. This is foundational to walking in victory and to getting from defeat to victory. And that is that God has a relationship with us and we need to maintain that. And that's exactly what Joshua and the people were doing. Now, it doesn't tell you this in the text. It says that after this defeat of Ai, Joshua built this altar on Mount Ebal. This is 30 miles away. In other words, between those two verses, Joshua has gotten all the Israelites together, possibly a couple million people, and says, okay, we got to take a trip 30 miles away. Now, he's doing this because God told them they were supposed to do this once they got into the promised land and began to conquer it. You can read all about it in Deuteronomy chapter 27. God says, once you've gotten in there and started to conquer it, you need to take time to renew your relationship with me. So that's exactly what they're doing. God's people took the time to renew their relationship with the Lord. God had told them through Moses back in Deuteronomy 27, when you get there, go to this place. There's two mountains, Ebal and Gerizim, and you're going to be right in the middle. And the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence was, is going to be right in the middle. You're going to build an altar. You're going to offer sacrifices, which is their way of worshiping. He says, half of you are going to be on one slope of one mountain. The other half is going to be on the other one. And you're going to offer these sacrifices. And then Joshua is going to read out the blessings and the curses. Those things that God has said, that he will bless you if you do this, and he will bless you in this way and that way. And after every single one of the blessings, you're supposed to say, amen. He says, but then he's going to read out the curses. If you choose to leave God behind and do it, this is going to happen. If you choose to do this, this is going to happen. And he says, you're supposed to shout out amen to that too. So something we don't really relate real closely to, but basically this was a time of worship and commitment of God's people to God once again. It was a way for them to maintain their relationship with God. They'd already done this at Mount Sinai. They'd already done this in the book of Joshua on the other side of the Jordan before they entered the promise, a time of new commitment. And they're going to do it again a couple of different times. And once again, at the very end of Joshua's life, he's going to call them to a time of new commitment. Why is this? Because as we go through life, our commitment can kind of get stronger and it can get weaker. And if we're going to live a life of victory, trying to live for God, following his instructions, we need to maintain our relationship with God. That means we need to bring ourselves to a new place of commitment, sometimes even almost every day. You know, it can be just as simple in some cases of waking up in the morning and say, God, here it is. It's a new day. Thank you for a good night's sleep. Or maybe you didn't get a good night's sleep. Thank you that I made it through the night and I'm still alive. I don't know. But here it is, a new day, and I'm just giving it to you. I just want you to know I'm here for you, God. Whatever you want, I'm surrendering. You know, it can be as simple as that. It can be more serious as if we've gone through something really, really tough. Maybe we've sinned, we've gotten it right, and we just make a fresh commitment to the Lord. We need to regularly take time to maintain our relationship with the Lord, to get ourselves back on track when we've messed up, to keep things on track when we're doing well. We need that time. And this is true of all relationships. I make it no secret, and I don't hesitate to brag, hopefully not too much, I love my wife and the relationship we have, but we have to work to keep that relationship as good as it can be. I've told her several times the last couple days, I really miss you. I mean, we're living together. We're in the same house. But, you know, we have both been so busy going different directions that we've not had as much time together as we like. And so I said, I really miss you. And she says, yeah, me too. And thank God tomorrow's our day off and we don't have any major plans. We're just going to be together most all days. We'll get back acquainted then. But we got to do that, you know? And if there's a problem between us, and, you know, pastors and their wives don't ever have problems, but, you know, if there were to be a problem between us, you know, something we disagreed about, which we don't because she always agrees with me, not really. But anyway, just like you, we got to get it worked out. We've got to do that with God. It's important we do that daily. It's a great thing to get into a habit of spending time in God's word and prayer every day. We need to do that weekly. That's why we gather together like this. Other opportunities to make a new, fresh commitment to God. So as we wrap this up, I just want to tell you, I mentioned this earlier, Joshua and the Israelites were never defeated in battle again as they went through to take over the promised land. Now, I can't promise you that we will, you will, I will never face another problem again in the rest of our lives. We're going to have ups. We're going to have downs. We're going to blow it sometimes. We're going to face some pretty overwhelming things. But I do want to tell you that God wants us to walk in victory. And especially, and even if we've suffered a defeat lately, don't give up. God wants to bring you back to a place of victory. Now, it's best not to put ourselves in a situation where we're defeated. It's best, as we said last week, to not sin at all. But when we do, we need to pick ourselves back up, get right with God, and go forward from defeat to victory again. As we look at these four things today from this passage, I want to ask you, which one, or maybe more than one, do you need to do today? God has a message for you. Believe it. Are you here today and say, you know what, God's been speaking to me, but I've not been believing Him. I've allowed the enemy to lie to me, and I've not been believing God's message of encouragement and instruction or whatever it is, and I just need to take God at His word today. Say, God has a plan for you. Discover it. Perhaps today, that's the key. It's like, you know, I'm in a situation, and I don't know exactly what to do, but I need to seek God and find out what it is that He wants me to do. God has a victory for you. Fight for it. Maybe you've been fighting, and you've been about ready to give up, and God's speaking to your heart today, say, don't give up. You keep fighting for that marriage. Don't give up. You keep fighting for that granddaughter. You keep fighting for that grandson. Don't give up. You keep fighting for financial stability. Fight for it. Or maybe it's the last one. God has a relationship with you. Maintain it. And God would speak and say, you know what? We need to spend some more time together. You might need to say, okay, I need to do that. We need to spend more time together. Let's all stand together. And I'm going to invite our prayer team to come forward. We're going to close in just a couple of moments. But I told you at the beginning that we were going to take some time to pray. And if you've got a specific need, we want to be available here to pray with you about that need. Even if it has nothing to do with what God spoke to you about in the message, if you got some need you want prayer for, we're here for that. If God spoke to you about a specific situation in the message and through the message, and you'd like somebody to join with you, we would like to do that. There's something special about praying with and for each other. Now, you might say, but I don't really want to share what I'm going through with somebody else. You don't have to. You can just come and say, this, I'm going through a tough thing. This message really touched my heart, or God's speaking to me. Would you just pray that God will work in that situation? So you can begin to come even now if you'd like some special prayer. Again, we're going to close in just a couple of moments. But I want to add to that before I go down to start praying also that if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, we would love to help you come into that relationship with God. You might have some questions. We can try to answer them. We can pray with you. But I said at the very beginning, this is a message for God's people. When you're in right relationship with God, God wants you to walk in victory. And if you've blown it, you can get back. You can get that taken care of. But there may be somebody that's here today, you're not even in a relationship with God. And today you want to see that happen. So we're going to take a couple minutes to pray with people. They're going to lead in some worship. You can sing along. You can ask God to work in your heart, your life, right where you're at. But if you'd like someone to pray with you, just come. We'll be glad to do that. We'll close in just a couple of minutes. They're going to continue to play, and when I'm done praying, they'll continue to sing, because we'll continue to pray down here with anybody that wants to come, as long as you want prayer. But I want to pray a blessing over you, and I'm not going to pray that you not get wet, because that would really take a miracle, probably. Thank God for the rain. But can we just do this? Can we just show our love for one another? Just join with the person next to you. If you're comfortable, you know, hold their hand or whatever. I don't want you to do anything you're not comfortable with. And let's just pray for one another that God will help us to walk close with Him. Father, we just come to You right now, and we thank You that once again You spoke to us through Your Word. And that You would help us, Lord God, to hear all that You want us to hear and to accept it, Lord God. Because sometimes when You speak to us, it's difficult to accept. We don't want to hear it. And God, I pray that as we leave this place today, we would go forth with a determination that we want to walk closely with You, live a life pleasing to You, walk in victory. And Lord, when we mess up, that we're going to get back up and we're going to keep on going forward, because the enemy is not going to keep us down. And God, we just pray for our brothers and sisters that we're here holding hands with, or just standing together in unity with, and pray that You do that same thing in their life. We pray that You bring victory to situations where there's defeat right now. We pray, dear God, that You would help people to have extra strength to fight in the areas where You've called them to fight. And we pray for victory in those areas. And God, we pray for your provision of all of our needs, Lord God, for healing, for strength, for wisdom, for encouragement, for healing in relationships, or for provision, whatever it might be. And God, I thank you that you have a life of victory for us. It may be difficult to live it out, but you have that for us. Help us to walk in it, Lord, I pray. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.